It's K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Hello, everybody. This is BJ coming to you today with Just Stuff. Our topic today is diabetes. And my guest is Mrs. Sandra Johnson. I will allow her now to introduce herself to you. Mrs. Johnson, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, BJ. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Would you give us some information about yourself, your career?
Yes, of course. I'm a registered nurse, and I am also an assistant professor of nursing at Northwestern State University of Louisiana. And I've been a nurse for 37 years, and I am specialized in critical care nursing. And I do a lot of patient teaching.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And like I said before, our topic today is diabetes. And this is a big, big topic, but we're going to discuss a part of caring for ourselves and realizing what diabetes is, how it affects the body, and how to manage diabetes in our lives. Now, I know the pancreas is related, but how is the pancreas and diabetes related to each other?
Okay, that's a very good question to start with. What is diabetes? Let's talk about that first. What is diabetes? Diabetes is a disorder of the hormone insulin. And most of us have heard of insulin. Well, insulin is a hormone that is produced in the pancreas. And the pancreas is an organ in the body, in the abdominal part of the body, in the stomach part, and it regulates sugar in the blood in order for the sugar to be processed by the body through metabolism in the cells. The pancreas produces that insulin in response to blood sugar, okay? So whenever you have a meal, no matter what you ate for that meal, any parts of the food that had sugar that needed to be digested, or carbohydrates, which we'll talk about a little bit later, carbohydrates are broken down into sugars, and that makes the pancreas respond to give insulin. Well, when people have diabetes, the pancreas doesn't work very well to produce that insulin. Either you have no insulin at all, or the pancreas produces insulin in response to your blood sugar, but it's not enough, or the pancreas produces enough insulin, but your body cells don't recognize it, so they can't use it. So for those three reasons, any of those three reasons, a person can be diagnosed with diabetes if they have that.
Okay, so the insulin goes in through the stomach area from the pancreas?
Well, the insulin is directly secreted into the bloodstream.
The bloodstream, right. Okay.
The blood
okay.
Flow. Right.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. To get to the target organs, the stomach and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So what are some of the causes of diabetes?
Well, some of the causes of diabetes, one of the causes is a predisposition to it, meaning that it is genetically encoded in a person. When they are born, even before they are born, in their genetics, in their DNA, it causes their something to go wrong in their body, and it causes the pancreas not to produce any insulin at all. So they're born with a defective pancreas that doesn't produce insulin. So for those people, they will have to have shots of insulin for life.
Because the body is not...
That's one thing, yes. That's one thing that causes insulin. Another thing is insulin... That's when you're born with it. Another way is that your body, your pancreas slowly stops producing the amount of insulin that you need. And that could be related to things such as being very obese or very overweight. Mm-hmm. And that can cause insulin resistance is what we call it, when the pancreas produces insulin, but it's not enough, or the cells don't recognize it. So there are many things that can cause diabetes.
Okay, so when the insulin is not produced by the pancreas, then this is when the insulin, the shots have to start.
Yes,
the insulin shots to get the body enough.
Yes, that's right. That's when you have to get insulin shots, is when you have no insulin at all. But there are different types of diabetes, which we will talk about later. There are different types of diabetes that do not require insulin.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Will you tell us about that then?
Okay, basically, you have different types of diabetes. You have type 1 diabetes. It's the type of diabetes that you are born with. You can have type 2 diabetes, which develops later in life, and especially in older people. And you can have gestational diabetes. Gestational diabetes is unique to pregnancy. It's when diabetes develops during a mother's pregnancy. And it can be easily treated, and it can, after the baby is born and the mother's blood and everything gets back to normal, they'll be okay. So that is gestational diabetes. But today, and there are others, but today we want to talk particularly about type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Because those have more consequences.
Okay. So... what is the worst type of diabetes?
Well, in my opinion, the worst type is type 1. And the reason being is that with type 1, you have no insulin in your body. So you're subject to more complications. I mean, every cell in the body relies on sugar.
Right.
Which the proper term for sugar is glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Every cell in the body relies on glucose. But for the purposes of our discussion, I'll just say sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear the term glucose, it's simply sugar. Okay. Mm-hmm. So every cell in the body requires, in order for it to function properly and to metabolize and do what it's supposed to do, it needs glucose or sugar. So if a person has no sugar at all, and if they have not been diagnosed yet, they can actually die from that illness of not having any insulin. If they have no insulin in their body to process all the sugars that they're eating, their cells cannot utilize the sugar because there's no insulin to help it. So that person can actually die and quickly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
For that reason, I think type 1 is the worst. Now for type 2, you do have some insulin, so your body has a little bit of something to work with,
mm-hmm,
in getting the blood sugar to the cells. But having type 2 blood diabetes. Having type 2 diabetes means that you will probably have many, many other illnesses or complications, as we call it, that will go along with that, that can lead to disabilities. So type 1 can lead to death, and type 2 can lead to death and disabilities.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think type 1 is the worst one.
So how easily is that detected? Can a person walk around with type 1 diabetes and not know it, or are there symptoms that goes along with that?
Well, yes. Actually, a person can have diabetes, and that's why it's so important to talk about diabetes and let people know exactly what it is. Because people can actually have diabetes and not know it. And they can have diabetes for years and years and years and not know it.
Mm-hmm.
They can have all of the symptoms, but not knowing how to recognize those symptoms that may be telling you that you have diabetes. So yes, you can have it without knowing. That's the scary thing about diabetes.
Yeah.
You will eventually get too sick once you have it. You know, your body will build up such a tolerance and then get to a point where it just can't handle the illness anymore, and that's when you get so sick that you have to be taken to the hospital. That's when they find out, oh, this person has diabetes.
So
that's the scary part of it, not knowing what the signs and symptoms are.
Well, do you think it would be feasible to, whenever you have lab work done at your doctor's office, maybe once every 2 months, to get checked to see if a person may have diabetes?
Yes, that's when you go to your doctor once a year or twice a year or however many times you have to see your primary care doctor, you should be checked for diabetes. And all it is when they draw blood to check all of your other lab work, they can check your blood sugar levels. And there are several tests that they can do to check to see if you are diabetic. Tests that just a stick of the finger and check to see how high your blood level is.
Mm-hmm.
So blood sugar level is. So yeah, it can be done. And it can be done very, very easily, along with all your other lab work.
Okay, now, do you think that family history is relevant to diabetes?
Yes, family history is relevant to type 1 as well as type 2. Now remember,
oh my,
with type 1,
yeah,
I said that it's genetic. It's
okay.
Type 1 is encoded in your DNA, that your
okay.
pancreas not going to produce that insulin. And that comes from your mother, father, grandma, grandpa, or somebody down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's handed down genetically. Okay, that's for type 1. So a family history is very important. And so that's what your doctor will ask you. That's one of the things. If you went to your doctor and said, well, I want to know if I might be diabetic for some reason, you know, so they'll start asking you questions. They don't just say, okay, well, let's just check your blood sugar, but they want to know what your risk is. And when
yeah.
we talk about risk, that becomes very important. How risky is it that you may be a person that might have diabetes? How
yeah.
much at risk are you? And so for type 2 diabetes, remember, that's the one that happens later on in life. It's
right.
from not eating the right foods. It's from not exercising, being overweight. That can cause type 2 diabetes. And that can be handed down from, you know, generation to generation. But it's not particularly genetic, although
mm-hmm.
it can be. It can be coded into your DNA that you're going to develop high blood sugar or diabetes when you are 60 years old, because that happened to your mama, that happened to your daddy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and grandpa, and so forth. So that can be encoded too, but you're not born, I wouldn't say that you are born with it, okay? So for type 2, that can definitely be prevented.
Oh, okay. What are some of the myths about diabetes, excuse me, and its causes?
Well, some of the myths that I know of as a cause for diabetes is eating too much sweets.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
If a person has type 1 diabetes and they eat too many sweets, it doesn't cause the diabetes, but what it does, eating all those sweets, causes the symptoms of diabetes to flare up so that we find out that you are indeed a diabetic.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the cause of it. It's just like it makes it worse if you eat sweets and carbohydrates and too many carbohydrates and things of that nature. That's but it's not what caused you to have it. But that's what many people think. They think a person became diabetic because they ate too much cake, cookies, candy, chocolate, and all the sweets.
Yeah.
That only makes the condition worse. But it doesn't cause it.
Mm-hmm. And I've also heard too much bread.
Well, okay, that's carbohydrate. So let me back up a little bit and talk a little bit about the statistics of diabetes before we go on any further. So that would let people know that it's not only an important topic, but it affects the whole United States. Mm-hmm. Diabetes is a problem that's affecting the entire United States.
Oh,
so we want to look at that first, and then we'll go into how it's treated and, you know, some more of the causes and mm-hmm. so forth. So stop me and ask me questions as I go along.
Okay.
So many people have diabetes. Some people have it, and perhaps they don't even know it yet. Okay, we already said that.
Right.
How many of you in the audience have been diagnosed with diabetes or know someone closely related to you who has it? Okay, so it's a big deal. Many people have diabetes. We don't just sit around the table talking about diabetes, but if you were to stop and think about it, yeah, a lot of people you know have diabetes, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of people who have diabetes is increasing in the United States. So that's not good.
No,
and
it's not.
And actually in the United States, we have an epidemic. So that's not good at all. Now, we all had a lesson on what a pandemic is. A pandemic is when a disease affects the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
All the countries in the world are affected by it. But a epidemic is when it affects just the country or part of a country. And United States has an epidemic of diabetes.
And
also, according to the Centers for Disease Control, diabetes is now prevalent among children. So you don't have to be only a type 1 diabetes, but type 2 diabetic can occur in children now. So that's really sad. So things are changed so much in our world that now children are developing diabetes, where before type 2 diabetes only showed up when people got older.
Yeah.
So that's another bad thing. And also, according to the Centers for Disease Control, they estimate by the year 2050, okay, what is this, 2021?
Mm-hmm.
So 29 years from now, 2050, it's estimated that 25% of the population of the United States will have this disease, diabetes.
Why is that, Sam?
So right now, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, why is that?
Well, there are many theories for that. We just don't eat things. It's a lot more fast foods now than it used to be. And remember, people used to cook. People used to cook meals at home. Nobody does that anymore. We're all out working. Your mama works, your daddy works, and it's no time for cooking. We don't cook anymore. We just, there are still older people, perhaps those who are retired, you know, can still cook meals and so forth. But generally speaking, there's no more cooking of food. Everything is fast food. Now, there are restaurants that sell really, really good food and serve really good food, but the proportions that they give you.
Oh, yeah.
And because we're starving to death and we just paid all this money for it, we're going to sit there and eat every last bit of that food where we shouldn't. We should only eat half of it. Save the half, the other half for lunch tomorrow, something like that.
That is not going to happen.
Yes, that happens. All of us do that because it's right there and we're just so hungry and it looks so good and tastes so good. We just sit there and eat all of it. That causes obesity. That causes us to get fat and be overweight. So that's not a good thing. And I personally believe that's one of the biggest reasons. But there are many theories out there as to why this is occurring. So, foods that we eat now are different. The foods are processed differently.
Well, that's true.
Processed. Yes. I believe that's one. But right now, about 8% of the population has diabetes of some type. And so in 29 years from now, so let's think about our grandchildren.
Yes.
That's who would be in their, mid-30s by then, depending on how old they are now. They will be, just coming into adulthood and stuff like that. They will be having type 2 diabetes. So they will be part of that 25%.
That's really scary.
It's really sad, and it's not good. But you know what? The good thing about it is that it is a very preventable disease. Very preventable and very treatable. Type 1, you can prevent it because you're born with it. But type 2 is preventable. Okay, so we'll talk about some ways, some things that we can do to prevent type 2 diabetes. But statistically speaking, there are, as I said earlier, 8% of the population with diabetes. It can occur at any age, but a certain type of diabetes can occur as we age, which is your type 2.
Yeah.
Okay? Right.
Yeah.
So
what doctor, a person that has diabetes, and we know diabetes is chronic because it lasts forever. So what doctor would you see to take care of diabetic situations?
The doctor to see to take care of diabetic or diabetes or diabetic situations is an endocrinologist.
Okay.
An endocrinologist knows all about the hormone insulin because hormones belong to our endocrine system.
Okay.
In the body. So when you have a hormone problem, which diabetes is, you see an endocrinologist.
Okay.
They specifically help you to get your blood sugar down into the safe range by your medication and by checking your blood sugar levels on a daily basis at home and so forth. So that's an endocrinologist. And that's it, along with your own primary care doctor, which
right.
you will see maybe 2 times a year or something like that, or as needed. But your endocrinologist, that's the doctor you would have to see for diabetes.
So what does A1C mean?
Well, A1C is one of the test types, and let's see. It's one of the test types for diagnosing diabetes. So who is at risk for diabetes is what we want to know first.
Okay.
Before I go to get tested, I want to know if I'm at risk.
Okay.
Am I at risk for diabetes? Okay. Do I have a family history, people in my family that's related to me that has diabetes? Okay. That's one check right there.
Mm-hmm.
Am I obese? What is obesity? Obesity means that you are simply too fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we have charts that can tell us if we are too fat for our height. So when we talk about obesity, you have to know how tall you are. It's your weight times your, it's your weight times your height divided by something. I don't know the formula. I'd have to look it up, but mm-hmm. It's a calculation that they do to see if your weight, if you are in the correct weight range for your height.
Mm-hmm.
That's called body mass index.
Oh, okay.
And ideal body weight, right. So your body mass index, when you look at a chart, you can look it up on the computer, you can look it up in your iPhone, you can look it up anywhere, a BMI chart. It will ask for your height and your weight, and it will tell you what your BMI is. Mm-hmm. If your BMI is over 30, then you are obese. That means you are way, way too fat. Okay? And another way you can tell if you are obese or too fat, if you're sitting down, just put your head down and look at your stomach. Do you see a big round, look like a big round ball sticking out, which you call your stomach? Okay, that might give you a clue that you might be a little too fat. You can look at your thighs. Are your thighs like bulging out? That's a clue. Okay, because some people really don't know that they are overweight.
Right.
Because everyone in their family is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they grew up with, and they don't really know. So if you're not sure if you are overweight, you can ask your doctor or ask someone to weigh you and ask them if, you know, what your BMI is, because any clinician or anybody that works in a clinic, any registered nurse, they'll be able to tell you what your BMI is, your doctor or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how you would know if your BMI is too high. So if your BMI is too high, you are at high risk for becoming a diabetic. So that's two things: family history, obesity. And then there's another thing called pre-diabetes.
Oh, okay.
Pre-diabetes is when they check your blood sugar and they find that your blood sugar is a little high, but it's not as high as it would be if you were a full-blown diabetic. Okay? It's a little high. The numbers are up there, but it's not the full-blown diabetes yet. So having pre-diabetes puts you at risk for developing full-blown diabetes if you don't get it in check right mm-hmm. away. Okay, so that's basically three things. And there are many other things, but basic three things that people can remember. Do you have a family history of diabetes? Then you might get it. Are you obese and have a high BMI over 30? Then you might get diabetes. Do you have pre-diabetes? Has anyone ever told you you have pre-diabetes? That's another thing that could predispose you to developing diabetes. Okay, so those three things. And of course, like I said earlier, there are many others, but those three things are what we can remember.
Okay, we have a pause here, and we're going to go ahead and stop right here.
Okay.
And the rest of this program will be... we'll come next week, next Tuesday. We'll talk about the rest of the information we have on diabetes. And this is just really interesting, and it's eye-opening for me. So I'm asking everybody to tune in next week to hear the rest of this program on diabetes.
God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a disservice to Jesus not to love ourselves after all he went through for me and you. God elevated us by loving us. Jesus elevated us by dying for us. The Holy Spirit elevates us by living inside of us. Keep God first and be your best self. Don't give negative words from others power over you. Let God change you from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Just a reminder, the best is yet to come.
My contact.